Welcome back to the Up All Night Book Club podcast. Today we have a very special episode for you guys. We had the incredible opportunity to interview UCF faculty author C. D'Angelo. She is the author of The Difference, and she has some more books in the works. So let's go ahead, let's hop right into the interview. Abby, take it away.
Okay. So do you want to explain what The Difference is about for our listeners?
Sure. Basically, a woman in her early 30s going on an ancestry mission because the secret of her grandfather's immigrant past from Italy is basically eating away at her, and not knowing her roots is really affecting her future, starting to affect her relationship and the way she is at work as a therapist. So she goes on a mission to find out the secret.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can really relate to this idea that finding your culture is really so essential to finding out who you are as a person.
Yes.
In fact, you've described The Difference as a love letter to your culture. And I was going to ask, like, what parts of your heritage and your culture specifically inspired you to write The Difference and your writing in general?
I decided to write this story in 2012, actually. So it's been a while. And I was doing some of my ancestry research. And also that was the year of the centennial of the Titanic sinking. And I made my character in there also be interested in anything Titanic because I'm fascinated with it. And so it all came around that time where I thought, you know, it'd be really fun to just write a book. And as the story was coming to me, it really became Italian focused and really became to honor my grandfather, who, this story is not my family story, but he also was an Italian immigrant, and other family members as well. I'm a second generation person in America. And so I thought, okay, you know, I think I can really have this niche, basically, and write more than just this story eventually. So it started with just kind of being in awe of what immigrants have to go through in general, and back then for my specific family, and then grew from there to when I was writing the story of thinking of how I was surrounded by such a rich culture. And it was basically my parents and my grandparents and I, and that's it. And the rest of our family was up north. So that was like most of my identity, is it was always being around the Italian side. And then, you know, you just think about, you're around a lot of Italian centralized things in our normal American culture too. And so it wasn't that hard for me to really pay attention to it. I mean, there's the food and popular singers and the music, I mean, the movies and TV and all of it. So it kind of all came together and made sense for me to really honor it. And so that's what I decided to do from, you know, book one.
No, definitely. I know I was saying my mother is first generation American Italian. And she really loved this book, and she really related to the main character's struggle to find her culture, because I'm sure this is something maybe you can relate to. There was this push of first generation Italian immigrants in, like, especially the 50s and 60s to kind of distance themselves from their culture, especially on the outside, because of just, it was the 60s and the 50s.
Yes.
And I was wondering, did you or anyone you know struggle with that? And did that influence any decisions you made in the book at all?
Yes, actually, my grandfather would write letters to his sister in Italy and would speak Italian on the phone to her and would never want to teach it to me. Didn't want that to be really part of my American experience. And so I did integrate that into the book, saying that, like, that as a point. And the people that came to the US just really wanted to be American. and they did not want their children to speak it. So like my dad, his son doesn't speak it. None of us understand it. And we always wanted to. And my grandpa's, no, don't worry about it. You know?
There was this fear of the accent, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And, it's just, you know, and back more, or I would say a little earlier than when my grandpa came to the US, there was a lot of also discrimination and violence. And so there was an embarrassment about being Italian and not wanting to kind of flaunt that aspect because they wanted to just blend in and be Americans.
Yeah, so it seems like a lot of your book obviously is based on personal experience. And when you ask authors like how to write well, lots of times that's like the go-to tip. It's write a lot and write what you know. Like those are the tips. But it's a lot harder than people make it out to be. What are some tips you have for our listeners? Because we do have a lot of writers in the book club on how to take your personal experience and then translate that for another character who is not you in a book.
Yes. Now, with this first book, I definitely used a lot from my own life and just really exaggerated it, turned it on the opposite way, like just, you know, did some things like that. But there's definitely parts of me and parts of my friends in there and things like that. But now I'm working on my second book, which will probably come out in May, actually. I'm editing it. And yeah. And so that one, I made sure that it's not at all like that. And it was a really conscious decision. And I kind of gave myself permission for the first one to be able to use myself a little bit more. But this, I have things in there that I also am interested in, or I like, or whatever, but it's definitely different characters than people in my life and then me. So I think, it is definitely, you know, allow yourself to use what you have in your life. You have a lot of knowledge, you studied certain things, you had interests of certain things, you are friends with certain people, let it influence you, but then let your story just kind of take you where it's going to. Listen to what it wants you to do. Because it's kind of its own force.
That's a
really good. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. It actually, it sounds a lot. Have you read Stephen King's On Writing?
You know what is so funny? Today, someone posted that again, you know, for the millionth time. And I'm like, why haven't I read that? And I thought that today, like, why haven't I still read that? Okay. Yeah.
He has like an entire chapter dedicated. And he basically says what you just said. So you're better than Stephen King. That's what I'm saying.
You're my new favorite reader.
So you mentioned that The Difference is your first book. And this is probably, we're going to start getting into the questions I think our listeners are going to get really excited for now, which is, as a first-time author, what were some very like surprising things that you came across, especially in the editing process, when it comes to publishing your first book?
Oh, I had no idea what I was getting into. No idea. It is a second career now. And I thought, oh, I'll just write it on the side and it's a hobby. And no. If you want it to be done right and to put out a good product, which I can't put out something that's halfway there. It has to be to a certain standard for myself, you know? And so I actually was picked up by a publisher and was with them for over a year, but I ended up with a hard decision and I left them because they were in breach of contract. And it wasn't going to be many things as promised. So I self-published this book. And during that time, I learned a lot of the business world, but then also in the editing, they taught me a lot and it was wonderful. I didn't know there's different ways of editing even. There, you know, the developmental content, the copy, and then, you know, going to the formatting and all of that. And so I didn't even know that, which is so naive of me, but I knew I would freak out if I read what I had to do before I wrote the book. So I had to write it, get it as best edited as I could, had beta readers and just did all I could and then started to query. And once I got into that and on social media and all of that. Then I started to really research, you know, oh, okay, I have to do all of this. So there's a lot involved. And I didn't know also the marketing is as important as it is. I mean, I didn't think about it, but it's, you have to have a good story, but you also have to really be good at the marketing part.
Yeah, no, that leads really well into my next question, which you mentioned on your blog that you basically have to make yourself into a business when you're an author and really pitch yourself to publishers. And I want to make sure I'm not breaching anything. I know you don't sell, but you do provide a course on pitching yourself on your website. So do you want to maybe give us like a sneak preview and tell our viewers where to find that if they want to hear more?
Oh yeah. On my website, cdangeloauthor.com, there's a page called For Writers, and I talk about my pitch party services. So some people don't know about what a pitch party is, but most of them happen on Twitter, and it is for all different genres have these pitch parties. The main biggest one is called Pit Mad, and it happens 4 times a year. This is how I got my contract with the publisher. It is where agents, editors, and usually small presses, well, some big ones too, actually, they'll go on there for the day during the hours that it is, and they'll read your tweet that is your pitch. And if they like it, they heart it. And then that means send me your query info. Now, the bigger publishing houses are going to require an agent before you do that. So sometimes you have to hold that and wait. And then if you get an agent, you put it in your query letter or something like that. But if it's a small press and you don't need an agent, great. You can query them if you want. What I help with is the pitch writing and the strategy. Because Twitter doesn't allow that many characters. You only have 280 characters, and you have not only put your pitch, but you have to put the hashtags so people can find it that day. Yeah. So you have to put the name of the party. So say hashtag PitMad, and then you have to put the genre. So I put hashtag WF for women's fiction. You'd have to put the age group. So I put hashtag A for adult, and then any others that you want. Like I put a mental health one for this book and different things like that. So there's a real strategy to it, but also there's three things you need in there. And so I help people with, hey, we got to get those things in there so people want your query. So I help them get to the query.
No, that's actually so useful. I had never heard of pitch parties before. And it's so interesting to see how like the publishing houses have moved to Twitter to pick up your books. And it's so exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I have a schedule on that page that I update yearly. And so this month, next week, there's two, I believe, if you write I think it's, you know, around Halloween, it's like a paranormal thriller kind of one.
Ooh, so they're like themed sometimes?
Yes, 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 yes. And then there's, I think, the picture book ones, PB Pitch. And so, yeah, they're happening all the time. It's and sometimes, honestly, the smaller ones are getting a little bit more useful to use than the big one of PitMad because you can get more recognized. So there's a tip for your audience.
Well, I hope people, I know I'm going to check out that parting group page. That seems so useful. So another, this is kind of like not as smooth as a transition, but you also, I saw this on your blog. I was stalking you a little bit, on your first ever post, you mentioned that like you got the title of the book, The Difference, from a Wallflower song. I'd never heard it before. I listened to it. It's great. I added it to my playlist.
It's a good little song.
It is. It's so cute. I know a lot of our listeners, we're always sending playlists and stuff in our GroupMe when it comes to like building an ambiance for our books and stuff. And I was wondering, like, how do you, like, do you use music? Do you find music as a useful tool when you write to build ambiance or like build that tone you get when you write? Because I know a lot of our members like have been thinking about that.
Oh, wow. This is not going to make any sense. Okay. I come from a hugely musical family. I've played 4 different instruments, sing. My family all plays instruments, you know, we're Italian. We're always like dancing and singing and whatever. Totally the stereotype. but I don't do any of that for my writing. I don't know why. And I've thought about this and thought, what is wrong with me? Why doesn't that come into this? So I don't. What music has helped me with is listening to it just for pleasure, and things just start to come for stories when I'm driving and listening to music, or like that song. I was just like, I think it definitely was in my bedroom. I think I was like getting dressed or something, and the song came on and I was like, oh, that's a great title. And then I looked at the music video for it, and it had a lot of meaning to me in what they included in the music video. And so I knew, I was like, that's it. Otherwise, editing, I might listen to music without words, like spa music or classical music or something like that. But my third book I planned out, and I'm going to start writing, I don't know, sometime soon. And that's going to be about a musician. And so I definitely plan to to have more, like maybe a playlist and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's just odd.
Spotify. I'll listen to it, because the Wallflowers was a great, I mean, I most people probably know who the Wallflowers is. They seemed like a pretty popular band, but
they were like when my age group, like when I was in college, they were very big. So I don't know about now, honestly. There were two major songs and that was one of them. Yeah.
Well, literally don't, like, it's so cool. It's so interesting to hear about like different authors' writing processes. Like to bring up Stephen King again, like he only writes his books by hand.
Wow.
You prefer like not to listen to music. Some people do. Like, how do you suggest to our audience how they find their writings, like the style they write in best, if that makes sense? Like, I don't know if I worded that right, but like.
Yeah, I think you just got to let it flow and try different things. Like, I have a very conversational kind of style. If you read anything that I write, I have a blog that I post monthly, and that's behind the scenes. Thank you. It's behind the scenes. I love all that stuff. I want to know all the things behind the artist's, you know, wall of what we see as the product. Mm-hmm. And so, you just try certain things. And honestly, I never thought I'd be a blogger, but it's kind of helped me to find, like, more solidify my voice even. And I just started writing, and that's what came out. And so you can read all the books you want about how to be a writer, but you just have to write and see what happens.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for
that's it. Good.
So you mentioned a lot, like, that you have this really conversational tone while writing. I definitely noticed that. I'm not completely done with the book. My mother took it from me. She wanted to finish reading it.
I love it.
But even I, from the little bit that I was able to read, I really noticed that. And I was wondering, was there like a reason why you chose that stylistic voice? Or was it just like you said, where it just like, that's how she came to you?
That's just how I write. That's just how I think to write. And a big influence of mine is Curtis Sittenfeld. And when she came out with Prep, I believe I was in college at that point. So we're talking a long time ago. And it felt to me like I was in that character's head. And I was so fascinated with that and thought, oh, I want to write like that someday if I ever write a book. And I didn't think I would write a book, by the way. I just had that thought. I remember having that thought. I thought it was like reading a journal of some sort. And I was like, that is so cool. And so when I started to write, it just so happened that that was how I write. Now, I'm not comparing myself to her. She's amazing. I'm just saying I have that kind of style, I think, where I want the reader to feel like you're in that head of the character. So I write in first person present. You know, actually, I wrote that the difference in first person past. And the publisher I had said, we need to change it to present. And she was really right. So, yeah. So now I write in first person present.
I was going to say, though, I understand you said you compared it kind of like to a diary entry. And I definitely got that feeling when I was reading it.
Good. That's the biggest compliment. I love that. I get two comments most common in my reviews for this. It's, relatable. And that makes me so happy because I want people to feel heard. And then also that they get hungry.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I was so excited when you said, I think you mentioned like rainbow cookies somewhere in the first chapter.
Yes.
There's no good place to get rainbow cookies in Florida, but now I want some.
You know, I know there's really not. It's sad. There's supposed to be an Italian bakery somewhere in Oviedo, by the way, but I haven't been there.
There's one in Tampa that's amazing.
Mm.
In Tampa.
Okay.
We used to make
it on the road once a year.
So I guess this kind of moving back, you mentioned you Italian culture, like people think of food and it's because food is the best part. and you talk a lot about food in this book. And so this is a bit of more of a fun question before we get into some of the deeper stuff. What is the favorite, what's your favorite like food that you mentioned in your book? You mentioned like cannolis, rainbow cookies. Like, do you like pasta? Are you sweet, savory? I want to know.
It's so hard to choose. So I'm going to have to choose a main dish and a dessert.
Okay.
So
don't blame you.
I mentioned cavatelli in there, and that's my favorite pasta of all time. And what is so strange is when I looked up where that originated, it is exactly where my grandpa originated from. I was like, how does that happen? It's like in my DNA or something, you know?
Really, it is.
It's amazing. I love that pasta. And then cannoli. I just love a cannoli.
Oh my gosh, cannolis are so good.
Oh, so good.
What about you, Jonathan? I feel bad. We've been talking up a storm over here.
Oh, no, it's okay. I do love a good cannoli. I have never had that pasta dish, though. I will have to look that up.
Yes, they do sell it frozen at Publix. It's, I can't remember the brand name, but it's definitely in the frozen aisles. And it's so good. even frozen and not fresh.
Yeah, I'd have to say mine would have to be pastina.
Yes!
My mom always made it for me when I was sick. So it's just like comfort.
Yes, I just posted that last week on my social media. Yeah.
Pastina with Parmesan. Oh my, I'm craving it.
Yes, that's it.
And rainbow cookies is my favorite. Like I'll eat those all day, every day.
Amazing. Yes.
Okay, so now we're going to get a little serious. You mentioned that you write a lot of women's fiction. And this is something we in the book club are pretty familiar with. This stereotype of women's fiction for being less serious or less important than genre fiction. And I was just wondering like how, maybe you didn't overcome those doubts, but how you face those doubts, because your book is very important. It does deal with a lot of important issues. And it makes a lot of important points that I think many people can, I mean, you mentioned like the number one comment is that your book is relatable. So how do you confront like those people who say maybe your book isn't as important as like genre literature, I think it's called?
Thank you, first of all, for saying it is important. I love that because I have a lot of mental health in there. That's very important. And other things, of course. But, well, okay, so I don't feel a difference or a judgment. And I don't know if that's because I won't accept it or it's just, or maybe I've surrounded myself with people that are not, I don't know. It's not like that for me. I never thought about it. The only term that I kind of dislike is chick lit. When I have gone to do some promotions for this month, Italian Heritage Month, I have been doing a lot for my stuff. I know. Yay. and I did some promotions where the book goes on sale for a day and stuff like that. And there is not often a women's fiction category, which really bothers me. And because it's not romance, but it has some romance in there. It's not literary. It's not thriller. It's not, you know, it's not all these other things. And so sometimes chick lit is an option and I did not choose it, but I feel like I should because it's like probably the closest one. And so I hope that term kind of leaves eventually. Women's fiction, though, is very misleading because it actually doesn't have to be about a woman at all. It could be about a non-binary person. It does not matter. There are women's fiction stories with men main characters. It's just about there needs to be an emotional journey and change of the main character. That's it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, well, that's what I write. So I'm a women's fiction writer. But I do feel a little strange sometimes about saying that in this day and age. It just feels a little segregating, you know?
So, definitely. Even as you're saying that, it reminds me of like that quote from Little Women where it's like, women are capable of so much more than love. Mm-hmm. And to like, just like emotion is so much more, you can feel more emotions than love. And so that emotional growth is more than just like falling in love, which I think is like the go-to when people think of women's literature. It's like, oh, they learn to fall in love. But I mean, she learns to like love herself, I feel like, in this book a lot. And love her heritage and her family more, which is completely different.
Yes. And I will not give any spoilers, but I was very intentional about my ending in there concerning her romance. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait till you get to it.
I think my mom mentioned that. She was like, you're gonna love the ending.
Oh, good. Okay, good, good, good. I feel like I need to meet your mom.
she'd probably be excited. So you mentioned like having this confidence kind of in yourself and your writing, because maybe you've surrounded yourself with that community that, you know, will support you. So what would you have any tips for our listeners who, again, are writers on building that good, writer reader community?
Yes. Well, I definitely want to point out though, to new writers and even people who've been writing a long time, the confidence is not there all the time. Just know that it fluctuates. Like, am I any good at this? Oh, this is good. Oh, this is really crap. Like it's fluctuating all the time. So just know that. But with my kind of my brand and my marketing from the start, I knew I was going to be an Italian American author who writes stories integrating in that culture that are very relatable to more cultures, you know? And I knew that when I did my social media, I needed to stick to certain topics and that's it. And I'm really strict about that. They say you should have like 4 to 5 buckets of topics. And so I do Italian and Italian American related posts. I do reading and writing kinds of posts, inspirational type quotes and such. And I'll post the settings of where my stories are. So like this one, there's a lot with New York. There's some Philadelphia. I post Italy things. My next one is set in New Orleans. So I did a little bit of that and I'm going to start integrating that in more. So I stick to those sorts of things. And I will not post about anyone else's book on my story or on my posts anywhere, unless it's women's fiction, but in my stories, or now I'm allowing to interview authors on my blog, I will do different genres of books. But my newsletter, same, women's fiction only. I'm very strict with that because I want a certain image and for my followers to know what they're getting in the certain thing that they're doing. So like the newsletter, they know, the social media, they know. And so I also make sure I keep it very professional. I don't ever post anything negative. I will never say I'm in a bad mood or I'm having a bad day or something like that, but I will be relatable and say things like, here's a great inspirational quote for those days when we're not feeling great. You know what I mean? So I'll like kind of twist it like that, but no one wants to see on a feed, I'm having a really bad day and I'll, like, you know, and I try to integrate in a lot of questions. I usually put my question first and I want the interaction. I'm very much about the relationships and the quality over the quantity. I would love more followers, but I really want engagement with people and people very interested in what I'm talking about. I also want to say, and this has been really hard during this release, to not all the time be posting your book. You have to post things about your book, related to your book, but not all the time. Here's my book. Here's my book. What's been hard is I've been on book tours. And so every day there's a beautiful picture and there's great words about it. And I can't like refrain from posting that. You know what I mean? But I integrate in other things too.
Yeah.
At least I'm trying.
It seems a lot like find your niche and then keep like, make sure that they know you're human and interact with them.
Yes.
Kind of like embrace that small community you have. Don't take advantage of it. That seems.
Yes, definitely. And they really brighten my day. And let me tell you, I would have never gotten that book published if it wasn't for the friends I made on there. There are so many wonderful writer friends that I have not met in real life, but I would consider them my closest friends, and one, a few of my closest friends, because they are, I talk to them every day on those formats, or text now, or FaceTime, or, you know, anything. And they were like, hey, I know an editor. Hey, this is where you go to get formatting, that, you know, it's, they really helped me make it happen.
Beauty of the digital age.
Yeah. I would have never guessed. Yeah. It's amazing.
So you mentioned that, you self-published this book, which I know a lot of our members are probably looking into, especially because most of us are early 20s, late teens. Publishers aren't really looking to publish us. So what do you have for like tips on self-publishing? Specifically, okay, like finding beta readers and editors, because that's really important.
Okay. Don't discount yourself though for age ever. You're on this end of it, but eventually you may be on the other end and trying to do something else with it. And it does not matter any age, because I've seen people your age get contracts. And then I've seen people in their 70s get contracts. You know, this is what's beautiful about the writing world, is age does not matter. It's not like modeling or something, right? So we're good. But self-publishing, honestly, it's been a very good experience. I did not think I was ever going to go this route. And now I'm actually going to do it for my second book too. The third one, I might try to query and see where I'm at that point, you know, but I had to learn very quick, because I wanted this book out and done, because I started in 2012. Remember? I was like, I need this book out. And I was supposed to publish it last year, actually. And so I was ready. But anyway, the writing community is where I went to find resources. So I asked my friends, if I could, I'd ask in my genre, hey, who do you use for this type of editor, your cover artist, your formatting place. I asked about where did you have it for sale? Did you just do Amazon? Where'd you do it? You know, like, how did you navigate that site? Everything you can imagine. Another place I've heard really good feedback about is Fiverr. And yes. So, yeah, I've heard that's really good. I'm actually going to put myself on there for the pitch coaching, I think. And so that's a great website, but it's really a nice word of mouth kind of business, I think, we're in. And so that's another reason you always want to stay positive and in a good light on everything you post. It's very word of mouth. But anyway, so you just ask people. I think that's the key. Just, you know, find out.
Yeah. Ask questions and be curious, and you'll find what you need.
Yes. Don't give up ever. Nothing is impossible with this field if you just persist.
Yeah. I think that's really motivating, because I mean, I'm sure you're related to this. I mean, you seem pretty familiar with like the pitch world. It's, you get denied a lot.
Yes, I got a rejection yesterday from, I sent for the second book, I sent it in March. I was like, what? I'm not, I don't even remember about you.
How dare they? They're missing out.
That's right. Yeah, you have to have a very healthy perspective. Every time you get a rejection, it hurts. And just know it's just timing sometimes. That person is just not your person for this point in time. That's really all it is. It does not mean anything about your writing.
It's not personal, it's business.
Yes.
All right, so I think we're nearing 40 minutes.
Yep, just
A little under 40.
All right. So I don't want to keep you too long. I know you're very busy. You've got two new books probably come. You've got one book, new book about to come out. You've just published one book and you're working on a third. So I don't want to keep you too long. You're an amazing woman.
Thank you.
I was wondering, do you have anything that you want to advertise to our listeners? Maybe talk about where you can buy The Difference, maybe when to start looking for the second book. You've mentioned New Orleans. I'm pumped.
That's great. Okay. Well, number one, The Difference is everywhere online, really. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Apple, Google Play, Target.
The big names.
And yes, and here's some really exciting news. I only have shared this with my newsletter people because I try to share things with them first. I call them my CVIPs. I went to Barnes & Noble on Sand Lake Drive, and they're going to have three copies of my book this weekend. And I'm going to go in and sign it. They're going to post on their website. I think this is what she told me. They're going to post the pictures on their website and everything like that. So you can buy a physical copy there. I've gotten into a store, this is far away, a store in Seaside, Florida, physical copy there. I'm on the website of I Am Books in Boston, which is Italian American Books. And then I'm doing a signing on December 11th in Mount Dora. So that's local, you know, ish, outside of Barrel Books and Games.
Whoa. So. That's fantastic. That's exciting for you. These must be your first signings because of COVID.
It is. I'm so excited about it. So yes. I'm just like, that is amazing. So yeah. And just to be able to be a self-published author and get into physical stores is really big. And so, you know, people do give you a chance and it's wonderful. So that's The Difference. It's everywhere. Links are on my website. And I, as far as The Visitor is my second one, all my books are going to be the something. So The Visitor set in New Orleans. I don't have my pitch down yet for it, but it's basically a woman who owns a new age store who lives above the store, and her building is going to get demolished. So she's this really independent person that doesn't want help from anyone, doesn't trust anyone, and yet needs to depend on her community to help win the buildings back from getting destroyed. Plus, the developer is her high school ex-boyfriend, who she really dislikes.
Well, I'm very excited for that one. I love New Orleans.
Probably. Thank you. Oh, and there's a paranormal twist in there, too.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, I remember that on your blog. You're excited about that part because you've never written paranormal before.
I love that stuff. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on this podcast. We're so happy to have you. You were fantastic. Everyone thank go check you. Out our blog. I've like gone through the entire thing and it's amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun to talk to you.
Yes. All right. So Jonathan, do you want to sign off for us?
Yeah, thanks for coming out. It was great speaking with you and listening to you guys talk. Follow us on Instagram at Up All Night Book Club, and that's night with a K. See, would you like to post any of your socials? Promote any of yours?
I would love to. CDangeloAuthor.com is my website. And basically, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I just joined TikTok, you guys. So I have three videos up right now. and also Goodreads and BookBub, and also Pinterest. Everything is C. D'Angelo Author. But like sometimes there's a period between C and D'Angelo, but like it's all C. D'Angelo Author. You can find me that way.
Okay, awesome. Sounds good. And yeah, we'll see you guys next time.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.